Hi, everyone, and welcome to Hot Off the Mess. I am your host, Samantha Bush, and today is such a big day because I feel like we haven't had this much happen in the pop culture sphere in forever. Like, I feel like since really J-Lo and Bennifer was like, he was rubbing her ass on that boat back in the summer. Like, I feel like I haven't been this excited to talk about what's been going on in the news. So that is why I am so excited to talk about it with my favorite gossip queen slash storyteller, Sarah Herron from Us Weekly. Hi, Sarah.
Sam, I mean, there is so much to discuss. There is just, it's 2007 all over again, but in a better way. So I'm so excited to be here.
I'm ready for the resurgence of our girls.
They're here.
They're here. They're ready to go. You know, they're getting their due.
They're getting their due.
I'm happy about that.
And so are we as fans, because we get to redo this again. And I know we were young. We didn't know any better. We were just reading gossip magazines. And now we're part of the gossip ourselves, but we get to do all this in a 2020 light and still poke fun and have fun, but not, you know, mentally torture people. Hopefully, fingers crossed, right? Better.
Not mentally torture. We were talking and it's like people, they get on, you know, Us Weekly and stuff for being like, you published this. And it's like, that was 2007. Like, shit was wild.
Everyone was part of the problem. It was a cycle that no one could break. And the media was a huge part of it, of course. I mean, we're in a post-framing Britney world. It's just different now.
It's different now. And like, you have to think about like what was on television at the time, like Rock of Love, you know, Flavor of Love, which, did you know he was married during that show?
I did.
Yeah, fun fact. He was married during Flavor of Love.
Actually watched a lot of VH1 because for whatever reason, my mom didn't want me to watch MTV, but let me watch VH1 music videos. And I think she had it wrong.
Oh, she got a little backwards.
Yeah, we got...
The fact that we had a show called Celebrity Rehab.
Wild.
And like, and I watched every minute of it.
Dr. Drew was like in Mary Kay and Ashley movies, but then he was also, you know, doing this stuff. I was always so confused on whether he was a real doctor. I still to this day, like, don't really. Now, then he did all the Teen Mom stuff. Wild. Dr. Drew Pinsky has had quite the journey.
He has had quite the journey, but let's just get right into, like, obviously what's been going on the past, like, just really the weekend. I feel like so much happened since like Thursday. Paris Hilton got married.
Finally. Paris Hilton.
Finally.
Say what you want about her, but she also, not that divorce is like that big of a deal, but the fact that Paris has never gotten married before is fascinating that she waited. And especially because a wedding for a socialite, for an heiress, is like a huge thing. And this is her first one and she pulled out all the stops.
All stops. And I mean, she got married on a Thursday, which is something really only like a really, really rich person can do and not have it be like, oh, we're cutting corners like with the budget. Yeah. Type of situation. Like if one of my friends was to get married on a Thursday, I'd be like, ooh, what's going on?
There's been a lot
of having a wedding?
Weddings on like Mondays and Fridays because of COVID rescheduling. And I'm like, I just don't think I could. I don't think I can attend.
No, it's like, Sunday? Love you. I'll send you a gift.
Yeah. Like, no.
Oh, Sunday is like a weird day for a wedding.
Sunday's asking I feel a like lot.
It's a lot. Like I have shit to do on Monday morning.
Yeah. Not only do you have to miss succession, but like you also are going to be hungover for work.
First of all, Sundays, let's talk really quick. Now that you brought this up, Sunday television lineup, I am exhausted, but exhilarated.
Yes, that's the perfect way to put it. It's out of control, quite frankly, but in the best way.
It's completely out of control because we have Potomac reunions. Mm-hmm. We have Salt Lake City, the Chi-Rest. We have Succession, Insecure, Curb Your Enthusiasm. People are like, don't forget about Yellowstone. I'm like, I'm not watching Yellowstone, but good for you guys.
I'm on the same page with you there.
It's not my thing, but wish you all the best. Did you watch Paris in Love, the docuseries?
I have not watched Paris in Love yet. I saw the clip of Kathy circulating of her telling her that she's using her expensive tray wrong, which got me intrigued. And then I found out it was like 13 episodes. And I was like, who at Peacock did this?
Sarah, I wanted to love it because I really loved her docu-series that came out like last year.
The YouTube documentary.
I loved it.
Great.
Like I loved seeing her in that light, her using her real voice and stuff. This is, if you're thinking that's what you're getting with it, you're not.
It's, we're going backwards.
She does a lot of the baby voice. And I'm like, babe, we loved your real voice. And like, you see her coming in and out of it a lot. It's really bizarre. And like, there's moments where she's in her closet, where she's sitting on the floor and she's talking and you feel this like real Paris. Mm. And then there's other parts where you're like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, it's very staged. Like, it's very overproduced.
You know what's interesting about Paris is she has always been consistently pretty famous. Obviously, like, had her height in the early 2000s. And I feel like she's very much back. And but she was always around. Like, you can't discount, like, all the Fragrance success and this DJ career and everything that she's done. Like, she's definitely been around. But she's always had an issue getting a second reality show post Simple Life to last longer than a season or, like, have an impact. Like, remember Paris Hilton's My New BFF? Like, what the hell was that?
That was a moment in time. That was, like, whoa. That was a time capsule.
And that documentary got her a lot of positive attention. So it's interesting. I know, like, a wedding isn't as serious as getting revenge or getting justice for all the victims at this insane, you know,
school.
Yeah, school she went to. So it's a different subject matter and it needs to be a little over the top and fun, but she should have known to lean into that more because the other shows didn't really work.
Well, there's also this like really weird scene with her now husband, Carter. Mm-hmm. And okay, there's two things actually. I don't know if they recreated her proposal.
They probably did.
For the show. Mm-hmm. It was very weird. He's like, we rented an island. I'm like, oh, okay. But then there's like this scene where he's like in a confessional type of situation. And he's like, you know, I grew up in a small town on a dirt road. Like, you know, we had to like walk a mile to our mailbox. Like,
okay, Carter.
And he's like, I don't know. Like, he's like, I never thought I'd end up with Paris Hilton. And I'm like, sir, your family is worth $4
billion. Yeah, I thought he was rich.
Yeah, like he's completely loaded. I'm like, why are you pretending that you were like this like little small town boy? Like you met Paris Hilton 15 years ago at her party. Like you ran in the same circles as Paris Hilton. Right. Like, why are we pretending that like you're like, I don't know, like a country boy. It was so weird. I'm like, you are worth billions of dollars.
Oh my God. That's interesting. Well, I know
it was weird
with Chris Zilka, her ex-fiance, throwback for anyone.
That, TBT.
That giant rock she had a couple years ago that she like lost in the club. They recreated that for like a photo shoot or something. I remember hearing that. So it would not surprise me that they recreated the same way Kim. Didn't Chris Humphries have to recreate his proposal for Kim for Keeping Up, I think?
That was such a weird proposal. It was like so not
good. I know.
Like you're proposing. So or if you compare the proposals between Chris and Kanye.
True.
It's like, whoa.
But now Travis like, brought back the rose petals for Courtney. It was a little more extravagant than the bedroom that Kim, you know, with the whatever. But rose petals did come back out.
They did. And that was cute. So I personally loved seeing Nicole at Paris's wedding. I loved seeing them together again. I loved seeing Kim there. Yeah.
All the pictures were
great. It just made me feel like warm and fuzzy.
I think the Nicole Richie Paris Hilton dynamic and throwing Kim Kardashian is just fascinating to me. The Richies are such an underrated like pop culture like deep dive when you go into Sophia and like the Scott Disick connection, and now Sophia has that new boyfriend Elliot, and Nicole is always commenting on his pictures, how much they like she loves them when she like clearly hated Scott. Lionel clearly hated Scott. And Paris always stayed close to Sophia, but then wasn't close to Nicole, but now they're back. Everything was just like, there's so much there. And then there was like that phase where Ashley Simpson was friends with Nicole Richie because of she was married to Pete Wentz and Joel Madden. Like there was just like, there's so many layers with those families because it's like real generations of fame and different kinds of fame, but like it's just it goes forever and it's everything.
Well, two, I don't, okay. Ashley Simpson didn't attend the wedding, but her husband
yes,
did.
Evan Ross was there, but no, Ashley, did you see that thing? Ashley was at an Uno tournament?
I was
at an Uno tournament instead of Paris Hilton's wedding.
I'm like, right. I'm like, is there trouble in paradise with her and Evan? Because that feels like a weird thing to miss.
That doesn't make any sense. And I mean, prior commitment, I guess, to this Uno tournament, but like, sorry to this Uno tournament, but like, you can get out of this one.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll understand.
Yeah.
It's a fucking Uno tournament.
Demi Lovato performed. That was a plot twist. Didn't see that coming. Paula Abdul.
And Kathy Hilton.
And Kathy Hilton.
She performed with Paula.
I mean, what do you think they performed? That must have been everything.
Oh, what are your thoughts on Kathy allegedly demanding more money from Bravo to come back as a friend?
I mean, part of me is not surprised at all because of like the Kathy like obsession that took over this year, which rightfully so. Like, I bet Rick got involved or like found out how much Kyle was making. And then even though it's so different because of friend role and Kyle's been on the show for over a decade, I bet I could see the right. Hiltons being
a little,
like,
different.
Yeah, a little different, but also like Kathy is like the headlines, right? I mean, besides Erica, I don't know, like Kathy got so much love and they probably were like, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. And maybe they wanted cameras in at Paris's wedding or something. Cause like Paris's show is on Peacock. So that would like work technically.
It would align. Yeah.
It's not quite, you know, that the drama of Tariq and Heather Almuso who had to fight with Netflix and HGTV, to Discovery Plus for their wedding special. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that there's probably some truth to it, but I think it's also very silly because the Hiltons have so much money and like Kathy can do what she wants and go to what she wants. So I think she should just like run with it and make some merch if she wants to. If she's really hurting for cash, which we know she isn't, get someone to start designing a merch line for you that says Hunky Dory and you'll make up the money quite quickly.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way as you. Like, I'm very mixed feelings. Like, I see a lot online of people being like, Bravo needs to pay Kathy. Yeah. I'm like, actually, they really don't. No. Like, and okay, controversial. I love Kathy Hilton, okay? I do. But people, like, blow her out of proportion, in my opinion. Like, there was, like, a time she was smelling a candle and people were like, oh my God, Kathy smelling this gigantic candle is such a mood. I'm like, is it?
I know.
She's smelling a candle.
You need to also take out, like, using like, mood as, like, a way to just make, like, that. It's done.
Oh my God.
But you're right.
And listen, I love Kathy Hilton, but I also, like, there's a side of Kathy that I feel like is very dark.
Mm-hmm. Well, all the Richards.
If Hilton's, we're being completely honest.
Darkness, for sure. Big Kathy.
Girl, you know I
love I know. Who doesn't? We need more on that, for sure.
I wrote about Big Kathy for thedip.com if you guys want to go read it.
Plug.
And shameless plug. HOTM code to get 20% off. So she's like a dark figure. Like, she's very sinister. Yeah. And they all have this like very, I say this all the time on the podcast, they all have this very like weird relationship with their mom in a way that like, whenever she gets brought up, they immediately start
like hysterically cry.
Every one of them.
I think it's because she's gone. Like, I'm sure they would have a good relationship with their mom if she was alive, but I think they're like, I'm saying like they romanticize it. Like, they're blocking out all the bad stuff. Like, they were child actors. Like, there's definitely some trauma and weird stuff that went down there, and they block all that out because it's easier. So then also that's why I think when Kyle went down that road of like potentially exploring doing like American Woman and all that stuff, Kathy knows there's darkness. And so she didn't want that out there.
Yeah.
And she really, one of them needs to write like a real memoir. I know Kim was going to write a book. God knows where that ended up. But with Kathy, to circle back, I also think that the way people talk with her was the way people talked about Leah McSweeney after her first season. And look where that left us. So we need to be a little too careful with like putting these people on a pedestal. Like, we can love them and embrace them, but then we create monsters. And I don't think Kathy will become a monster, but we're seeing her trying to hold out for more money, allegedly. So I don't like that. We need to like be, we can celebrate people without acting like they're like Jesus Christ reincarnated.
Yeah. Because then there's people that are actually bringing stuff to the show and people are like, we need them fired.
Right.
I'm like, what are we doing right now?
Yeah. No, the Bravo fans are backwards sometimes.
You're telling me. I know. I get a lot of DMs when I talk about my candy gal.
Yeah, I know you do. We're not going to
People are like, yeah, we're not, we're wrong road. As Portia Williams says, wrong road.
Oh my God.
Okay. Obviously, the biggest, for me, the biggest headline of the weekend was Britney.
Right.
Free. Free Britney.
I mean, my favorite part was her and Sam wearing the Free Britney shirts. I thought that was, although... Can we talk about Sam?
Oh.
Did you see
the New York Times?
I'm upset.
I didn't know, like, I thought I was, like, literally having a stroke while I was reading it. Because I was like, what am I reading?
There was no point to it, because they couldn't talk about anything really real, because he made a point to not make it, like, about Britney, which is supposed to be admirable.
Yeah.
But the fact that you did this profile... And, like, the timing, you knew that court date was at Friday, like, whenever they did that. Like, it was all very sketchy to me. And I was trying to believe in Sam. And now I'm very sus.
I think everyone's always been a little sus of Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think people are just so protective of her that they're like, who right. the fuck is this guy? And I, yeah. you know, I read this, you guys, if you haven't, go read the New York Times article that they did like a profile on Sam, and it's a journey, and it leaves you kind of questioning him. And it's not in a way where yeah. like, I think he's a bad person. It's just, you're just like, what is going on? What are your yeah, thoughts?
I just, the timing was suspicious. And like the point of it, I didn't really get why I was reading this super long. Everything in it is, you know, not to be like a Beverly Hills Housewife who thinks articles yeah. are too long. But they, like, I just was like, where am I going here? Like, I don't need this information. Right. And I certainly don't need it the day after Britney is finally free.
Yeah.
But thank God. I mean, that was like, the fact that this lawyer, her new lawyer, like turned this all around in 3 months, and the other court appointed lawyer did this for 13 years, says everything you need to know about how broken all that was.
I mean, Matthew Rosengart is
a king.
King.
Let's put him on a pedestal.
Let's put him on a pedestal. Give Bravo, give him more money. Like, just throw him some
cash.
Let's
give him more money. Yes.
He is truly an icon now. Like, also,
no, he is.
He's really hot. I don't know.
No, yeah.
I don't know if it's because he's like,
daddy.
He totally is. Like, he's got like such big dick energy, and he's like totally. Slinging that big dick everywhere. And I'm here for
it. Because he like, well, like the media would like obviously like, you know, bombard him leaving the courtroom, and he always would get like the few lines in, a little dig at Jamie Spears, mm-hmm. but also remain professional. Like, he clearly was just like there to get shit done. Sandy Cohen energy. We're like fighting for Britney.
Fighting for the little guy / Britney Spears. Yeah. Who would have thought Britney Spears was the little guy? In this situation,
she was.
But in the big scheme of things, she's a big deal. Now, he did say, and I really liked this, was he was like, because someone asked him, is she going to perform again or whatever? And it really gave me chills, because he was like, she's going to perform if she wants to. Like, this is up to her yeah. now. Her life is up to her. And I just like, mm-hmm. and I know that that's like so duh, right? But right. it's like, it was just nice. Like, it was nice to hear someone like have her back. And then I took a little journey onto Miss Jamie Lynn's Instagram.
Ooh, JL is my favorite topic.
Let's talk, because I'm fascinated by her editing her children's faces out of the photos, but she does so with like rainbow filters and like blurring of the faces. It's bizarre.
No, any celebrity who posts their kid with like an emoji over it,
I hate
it. Just like, save it. Like, I don't need it. Like, I get it. If you don't want to post your kid, that's mm-hmm. totally fine. I understand.
Then don't.
And there's been, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of movements in like paparazzi and stuff. And I get it. Us Weekly is one of the publications that doesn't post pictures of kids. I still get the pictures.
Shout out
from the
to Us Weekly.
Yeah. We haven't done it for years. And I still get the pictures. So I get to see the kids that the photos they're still taking.
Are they cute?
But we don't publish them.
Are yeah, they we cute? Get, like, some kids are a little.
Some kids are cute. I mean, those Lively Reynolds kids are freaking adorable. But I understand why they don't want whatever. And there are certain outlets mm-hmm. that still do post them. And I agree, it's messed up and they shouldn't. But then don't, like, Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard, like, freaking save it. Like, I don't need to see your kid with a poop emoji over it. Like, can't you just not get a close friends on Instagram?
Just don't fucking post your kids then. Like, I don't need to see their torsos.
No, it's so stupid.
It's so weird. And like,
and
that's
it's almost
like Jamie Lynn
shaming other people who post their kids. And then Jamie Lynn, it makes no sense because she used to post them. And now she just does a bad blur job. It's so silly.
And it's like, why are you posting your daughter's homecoming pictures, but like blurring her face? Like, then don't post her. Like, we don't need to see your daughter go to homecoming. We actually don't. And all of her comments are limited on her posts.
Which is fine.
Obviously.
If you're going to limit the comments then, but then show the, like, do, you don't need to, or get off Instagram, Jalen.
Yeah.
Like,
just
make
get off Instagram. Just
make
great.
A private Instagram for your family. Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck has a private Instagram called like Goodwill Bill or something. Like, it's like a Goodwill Hunting play. And you can see it because Jennifer Gardner follows it and it has like 10 followers. And the description is, I'm a dad who sometimes makes movies and I have tried to request and unrequest this account endless amounts of times. Of course he's not going to accept me, and he shouldn't, but I'm glad it's there.
Whoa. You brought up Dax and Kristen, and I know that this is not like major news of the week, but I need to talk about them. They're both from Michigan, so like I have a love for them.
Okay.
Because like hometown heroes type of energy. Mm-hmm. But I need them to shut the fuck up.
I really don't like them.
Here's the thing. I understand that, like, they're trying to do this whole, like, we're relatable, we still fight even though we're a cute couple type of thing. But, like, at the end of the day, I'm like, are you guys okay?
No, I...
Like, because now you guys are, like, weirding me out. Because it's, like, relationships are work, but, like, are they that much work?
And also, like...
Should they be that much work?
It's kind of like when Ben Affleck gave that speech at the Oscars saying, like, marriage is work, but there's no one else I'd rather work with. And then, like, him and Jennifer Garner broke up, like, a day later. Like, it's...
Yeah,
it's,
I'm like, it's a little much. That's okay?
Yeah, like, they're not okay.
It's a little... They're always, like, you know, we're in therapy, and, like, that's great. Mm-hmm. But it's getting kind of to the point where it's, like, okay.
You know what I think it is, though? It's, like, it's overexposure, because Dax does that podcast where I'm sure, you know, I listen to it every once in a while when there's, like, a really good guest. And I know it's a very successful podcast.
Yeah. Armchair expert.
I'm sure we're competing in our numbers.
Yeah.
Right up there. But they talk a lot on that, obviously. And then she did a spinoff show of his podcast. And then she does a show for Ellen where she, like, talks about being a mom. And that's where all that, like, they don't bathe their kids BS came from. So I think that it's just, like, too much of them where, and, like, they're on the laundry commercials, and then they actually do things like act. So it's like, we see so much of them, mm-hmm. but then they're hiding their kids. So it's like, either give us the reality show and give us everything, be true Tori Spelling, or don't, like, be story. have some mystery, and then we'll still like you because there's something we're, like, looking for. We know everything about them. And I just, like, save it.
I think Mila Kunis and Ashton actually do, like, a good job at, like, the kind of tearing that line a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. I don't need to hear that you don't wash your kids. Right. That's something I don't need to hear. But I also enjoy that they kind of, like, they kind of tuck themselves away a little bit. Like, yeah. They're not in our face as much with
when
their
issues. When we do get
issues.
An interview with one of them and, like, a little nugget about their relationship, it feels fresh and it's like we can celebrate that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. One thing I have to discuss is there was some talk on Twitter this weekend of being like, oh my God, 2007 is getting, like, the girls are getting their due, whatever, whatever, because Paris got married, Britney got free.
And Lindsay got a movie.
On, like, Netflix or something. And I'm like, are we really comparing Lindsay Lohan getting a low budget Christmas film to Britney being out of a 13-year conservatorship and Paris getting married?
I know. And the thing was, Lindsay's acting again. It's like, did you not watch Lohan's Beach Club? She's been doing some version of something for quite some time now.
And Lindsay is someone that I think she was treated relatively unfairly, mm-hmm. but I don't think she was treated as unfairly as, like, Britney was.
I agree. Lindsay also was, like, getting DUIs and, like, at the Georgia Rule set, and, like, her Be Fully Loaded sets, like, were, like, imploding because she was late. Like, she was more doing things that were, like, affecting other people, whereas Britney,
right.
it felt like, was just being controlled and
spiraling.
Yeah.
And
they were different. And I just made me laugh also because the photos from the movie set, like, her lead is Cord Overstreet, and, like, sorry to this man, but, like, you're in a movie with, like, a Glee alum, and we're supposed to pretend, like, this is going to save your career.
Yeah, it's not like she's in Spencer.
No, which can't wait to see that.
You know what I mean? Like, she's not, like, in a Oscar-winning, nominated
one
film.
Of the last things she tried to do, remember when she tried to be, what's her name, in Liz and Dick on Lifetime?
Elizabeth Taylor.
I'm talking about, yeah, I just remember that wig. Lindsay Lohan in that wig. So last time she did a
that
biopic was tough. So I'm glad we're not doing that. But I'm slightly concerned. Yeah. I'm a big Christmas movie person. I've seen every Hallmark.
Are
Christmas.
You?
Oh, I watch them all.
Okay.
And Netflix does have a good budget, but those Vanessa Hudgens movies are wild. And I have a feeling it's going.
Is that the Christmas Prince?
No, she's Lindsay Lohan. No, that's a different franchise. It's also Netflix though.
Oh,
Vanessa
so sorry.
Hudgens has the Princess Switch 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, Switch.
Yes, where she plays three different characters. And she also has this movie called The Night Before Christmas where a, like, knight comes alive. And, like, Sloane from Entourage is in it. It's like a wild journey and they're all, like, insane. And so I assume the script will be similar. So I'm, you know, I think people are loving to jump on that bandwagon of that picture of the three of them and be like, oh, it's 2007, like 2007, like they're back, whatever. And they are in some degree, but I totally agree with you that this Lindsay being included in this, like, newfound success narrative is kind of hilarious.
I was like, it's kind of funny. And also Paris notoriously, like, hates Lindsay.
Right. And loves Britney.
Loves Britney. Hates Lindsay. Like, is like, she's a nightmare.
I'm kind of sad Britney wasn't at the wedding.
She was kind of busy. She kind of had something really big happen.
I know.
She had to prepare.
That's true. I guess the court, the wedding was the 11th and like the hearing was the 12th. I mean, whatever. You're right.
Yeah. But I would have loved to see her there.
Yeah, I'm sure she was.
Like, imagine. I mean, I'm excited for Britney's wedding.
Britney's, okay, so I recently went down a YouTube spiral and ended up watching Chaotic again, Britney and Kevin Federline's television UPN series. It's on YouTube and it's worth a revisit if you haven't in a long time.
Oh my God.
Because it had just been, on November 7th, it was 15 years since Britney filed for divorce from Kevin Federline, and I had to do this like look back story for usmagazine.com. And I wanted to get quotes because I couldn't, like, it's really hard to find stuff on the internet when, like, Britney's obviously trending so much right now to find, to, you know, you add 2005 to the Google search and it still doesn't always give you what you want. So
that's,
I
went a to lot.
As a journalist does. And I watched their wedding again on YouTube to get quotes from them for the story. And the dress that Britney wore to that wedding is just so upsetting. And she had the dark hair and then they had the juicy suits. And then she had like the almost like stripper version of the dress for the after party. And it's just, the whole wedding is sad and in her house and unfortunate and trashy. So I cannot wait for her redo, because now, you know, even that gown she was wearing the other day on Instagram, where she's like, it's not my wedding dress, but I'm having like a big designer. Like, it gives me hope that we're going to get like a fairy tale Britney dress. And that's what I want.
Okay. I hear you.
Okay.
I see you.
You're you disagree.
But I don't think we're going to get that.
You don't? You think we're going to get Chaotic again?
Britney, that, yes. Britney is Britney. She's still Louisiana girl. She, it's, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm not saying her hair extensions are going to be fixed, but maybe they.
Right. Maybe we'll get a better dress.
I'm hoping.
So you're saying?
We'll still have last night's mascara, I don't think we're going to be. Maybe we'll have a pretty dress.
I don't think we're going to be getting like a Paris moment. No. You know what I'm saying? We're definitely not.
Paris's dress is everything.
Going to be doing that. Everything. And she had like four. She had like four dresses.
What did you think of her then? Because it was so glamour. So, you know, all the photos had to be approved. Mm-hmm. It was just like so rich. But then like the carnival was very much like, I mean, I thought it was amazing in a way, her way to play into it, but like felt like almost very silly after this like high glam event where it's like, oh, it's like that saying of like, you were always the same age as how you got famous. Like that without like really young Paris in that pink situation.
Yeah. That to me, so there's, and I say this about Kim Kardashian. Actually, I say this about all the Kardashians. I'm not including the Jenners because they're like a different tier, in my opinion. Right. But with the Kardashians and Paris and like Nicole and like that whole like group of people that like went to high school together or they knew each other like growing up, I personally think that they all really crave like this very like traditional family life.
Mm-hmm.
And like Paris kind of talks about that on her show, Paris in Love, like where she's like, you know, I want to get married. I want to do it in the quote, right order. Like, I want to get married. Then I want to have kids. Like, it's this whole thing. And I think Kim is like that too.
Right.
Where they had a very traditional upbringing. I mean, even though their dad was the lawyer of like OJ Simpson.
Right. Same.
I know. Same.
Uncle OJ.
Uncle OJ. Yeah. So, but they still had that like very like traditional family life, like where, you know, Chris had parties and like, you know, they had friends over and it was like they did Christmas cards. Like, I think that they all like really crave that.
Okay.
Because they all eventually start like going down that path a little bit.
Very Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber getting married at like 23.
Oh my God.
That's a
Hailey needs to get out of that. Hailey's got to get out of that.
I mean, all these quotes that she keeps doing all these podcasts. I don't know if she's trying to break into the podcast market, add her to the list. But she keeps doing these podcast interviews that like are talking about like their dark time before they got married. And I'm just more confused than ever why she agreed to do
this. I'm like, babe, you don't have to do this.
No.
Like, you can get out.
I know.
Like, you're your own celebrity.
Totally.
And I have a theory that Kendall hates Justin.
Really?
Yeah.
The same way like Taylor Swift hated Justin when Selena dated him?
Yeah. Wow. I think Kendall, because she's a Scorpio, I think she's like, I'll accept him because like you love him, but he fucking sucks.
I can see that. I feel like they're like, not with him that much.
No. And Hailey never gives me the vibe that she's like very happy with him. Like, I never have seen her smile.
Well, it's her job is being Mrs. Bieber. Like, and that's a job because he has a lot of like.
Did you watch his YouTube show?
I didn't watch the new one. I watched like the last round when they were getting married and I found it not stimulating enough to watch the new one. But I went to, I will say, I was in Vegas that weekend. I was like impressed for this like Justin Bieber event and I saw him perform at a nightclub in Vegas and it was I felt like a teenage girl. Like I like got Bieber fever for the like hour it was there. And I was like, yeah, I didn't know this was in me.
You were getting
like peaches. I was like, hell yeah.
It was deep inside you the whole time. Yeah. And then it came out
at XS nightclub. Yeah. And you know, that was a choice. Yeah. I mean, there was Red Bull vodka involved, but it certainly came out.
Well, there's just like a part of me that's like, I don't know. It just feels, I mean, I find her to be truly one of the most beautiful people on planet Earth.
She is.
Like, I think she's so stunning and I think she's a good person. I think she's like really normal, actually.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to some degree, she grew up like famous-ish. I think it's going to be one of those things that in like 10 years, whatever, however long they're together, like we're going to find stuff out. Like that book, if she goes that like Demi Moore book, I always go back to celebrity books. But like, I would love to know the real story.
You love a celebrity book. What's your favorite celebrity memoir that you've read?
Open Book by Jessica Simpson.
Because she got real.
It was everything. I remember reading it and I would like pause every, it was like, I was up all night because I like I got the book like 3 days before it came out because it was like a very top secret one and it was hard to get. And so I was up like that whole weekend reading it and I just kept pausing it to go watch the performance she was referring to or like read the headline she was talking about or like see Nick Lachey, like watch Nick Lachey, Jessica Simpson interviews. Like it was everything. That or Demi Moore are the two best ones. If people, and Lainey Remedy, when people ask me like celebrity memoirs to read, those are the three that genuinely like, they like don't hold back at all versus most people like do like a sugar-coated version.
Yeah. I have to ask you, so like you work in like such a, like you have the coolest, like you have such a cool job.
Oh, thanks.
You talk to celebrities all the time. Do your friends think your job is like so cool? Like, are they as into pop culture as you? Cause like my friends like don't watch Bravo and they literally are like, what?
Is that why you started the Instagrams to try to find Bravo friends?
Yeah, I was like, I need to have like other friends that like can like talk to me about stuff. Like my friend texted me the other day and she was like, I just started watching Summer House and I actually like it. I'm like, welcome to the trash can.
Yeah, wow, that's one to get on board with. Definitely. My friends have treated me like I've Googled for a really long time. Like even before this was my actual job, because I've always been the same way as you, like watched everything and loved everything. And I still get texts from people like, something like, who is Jake Gyllenhaal dating right now? Or who did Paris Hilton marry? Like, and I'm like, this, like, like literally type that same thing you just texted me into the Google search bar and read the story that I wrote for you or that I edited for you or whatever.
Give me a click at usmagazine.com.
Exactly. Sometimes, yeah. And then obviously, like, there are certain things I'll find out. Or, like, when I get a book, like, I just read Hannah Brown's book and I immediately started texting one of my, like, my friends who watch The Bachelor. And I just, like, told them everything, even though I was supposed to. So, like, I definitely like having that, too. But then other times I'm like, literally Google.com will give you this information. I promise. Like, there are things that I know that, whatever you find out. But, like, there are other things that are just common, like, just facts. Like, facts are available everywhere.
Mm-hmm. They're ready. Yeah. They're at the ready. Wherever you look,
I definitely think my new narrative these days has been like, I read this book or I listen to this podcast, so you don't have to. And that's, I do these like big revelation galleries. And that's, I mean, the amount of clicks and stuff they get is insane. And it's interesting.
Oh my God. Look at you.
Yeah.
Superstar.
It only is me. I think it's the content of no one wants to buy this book and read it. And I will do that work for you.
Because you really do. Like, I feel like you texted me recently and you were like, I was up till 2 a.m. reading this book. So this was really fun. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Do you want to talk about Taylor or anything?
Yes. Oh, my God. Let's talk about Taylor Swift. Thank you. All right. Let's talk about Taylor. So Taylor Swift obviously put out Red, the Taylor's version.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts? Like,
well, I have to know, like, where are you on the Taylor Swift, like, spectrum?
Mm-hmm. I'm not a Swiftie.
Okay.
But I like her a lot.
Okay. I've gone through every phase. Like, I was obsessed back in the day, like, when this album came out the first time. Yes, Fearless. Even, like, Our Song Taylor.
Tim McGraw,
yes. Big fan. And I also loved 1989. I thought that was just, like, bop after bop. Then
it's like no skips.
That album is, I can't wait for that re-recording because her voice is like so much better now. So I loved that album, but then like I totally fell for the like, oh, she's annoying, I hate the girl squad, and I still cringe sometimes when she speaks. Like, it's just like, I don't think I could ever be friends with her, But okay. And Reputation upset me for many reasons, and the Kim of it all. But then when like Folklore came out and we were like trapped inside a house, like I was like, oh, I've been wrong and I love her again. And I went back. So this has been nice for me to like rediscover myself as a Taylor Swift fan through the new music. But I still, I don't like watching her interviews. Like I do it. And every time I'm like, why did I do that? Like, I didn't like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you and I had the exact same journey. Okay. I was like a very big Swift person during Tim McGraw, our song Fearless. I wasn't that into Speak Now. Okay. I did like a couple of the songs. It's kind of like forgotten for me. Yeah. Like I'm like, I forget that was even like an album. Okay. And then Red was like, okay. And then I got like, obviously 1989 was like incredible.
Yeah.
Like I think it's like one of the best.
Pop star Taylor, like at her best.
Pop star. Like she came in hot with that. Loved it. But like you said, when the Kim and Kanye stuff happened, I was like fully.
So was I.
I was not leaving snake emojis on Taylor's Instagram like everybody else was. Not like
real life, but yes, I was on that camp.
Like, yeah, and I was just, because I really hated the girl squad thing. Like, I really, really, really hated it so much. It was so fucking fake, and it was like, it's supposed to be like relatable. I'm like, but you all are 6 feet tall and 92 pounds. Like, you're models. Like, and but then she had like, the token, like, normal friend, it seemed, like, would be, like, Lena Dunham. Right. And I was, like, this feels weird. And then, like, the stage, like, Tom Hiddleston romance. Yeah. Like, I hated it.
Me too.
Okay? I hated it.
Yeah.
Then Reputation came out, and I was, like, I hate this album.
I hate it.
I can't, I don't like any of the songs on it, I feel like. Delicate is, like, fine.
But and then Me came out as the single off of Lover, and I was, like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? But then Folklore changed everything again. Oh, so it's a phase.
Folklore is like that bitch.
Oh, Betty is like, that bitch.
The One makes me bawl my fucking eyes out because it's so like me and this relationship I had, like it to a T.
Oh, damn.
And yeah, I mean, like I literally listened to that song so many times. It was my number one most listened to song of 2020. Oh my God.
Mine was Bloody Valentine by Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh my God. Which is so embarrassing. Sarah.
I know.
Sarah.
I watched that video for work because Megan Fox was in it, and then I listened to that song nonstop for like 5 months.
Oh. I mean, it's a good song. But like, how edgy of you?
I mean, I have layers.
Rock and roll.
I mean, right? But I just want to talk about Jake Gyllenhaal really quick before we go.
Oh my God, let's talk about it. Yeah.
I'm loving the, I mean, again, like, don't be insane and, like, write crazy things on Jake Gyllenhaal's Instagram. Like,
people need to chill the fuck out.
Like, relax.
And with John Mayer. Oh, like, relax,
I
know,
but
everyone.
I cannot wait for, like, you say Speak Now is, like, forgettable, but, like, the Dear John re-release is going to be everything. Because it does circle back to the way we were talking about how, like, media is now in 2021. And Taylor Swift really was ripped apart for like writing about her exes. She was celebrated and then ripped apart for it. But like, that's always been what happened. And I don't really know why we like got so mad at her for that. And now it's kind of fun to get to be like, no, fuck Jake Gyllenhaal. Like Team Taylor at the time, I feel like we were like, oh, she's that crazy girl. But now I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, and the new songs, like there was a line about like his organic shoes and his $1 million couch. And I'm like, drag him. Put that, make the guy from Teen Wolf be him in a short film and make him wear the same beanie and puffer jacket. Do that. And she did.
Her mind.
Yeah.
Like, her mind is unreal. Like, the way that she can piece, like, she pieces everything together. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy. But, so Jake Gyllenhaal, I still.
Oh, him. Totally. He's gorgeous.
Like, if we're being honest.
100%.
If we're being real with ourselves.
I have two things to say. One, you have to point out, I mean, that the trends of this weekend, it's just been so crazy to see because also like on our, I can only see numbers for like our site, for example, like for asmagazine.com, but like the timeline about them that was written a long time ago that was like refreshed for this album coming out has been at the top for days. So like the Google is insane of people looking this up because they only dated for like 3 months, which is hilarious.
Right.
On all the lines about how like him being young and stuff, like his girlfriend now is 16 years younger than him. He's like in his 40s. She's 25. Taylor was, he was in his 30s. She was 21. So I know there's a difference. Like they had 9 years. And I know like being 30 and 21 are very different versus maybe, but like 40 and 25 are pretty different too. So like, it's just like the perfect revenge for her that he's also with like a younger girl.
It's great. Yeah. Cause she says that in the song, in the 10 minute version of All Too Well, obviously. She was like, you know, you got older, but your
lovers remained the same age. Yeah. How do you feel about the 10 minute version of All Too Well? Because I love it. I think it's iconic, but I do have a slight conspiracy theory that I don't know if it was written at the time. Cause like,
she 100% did not write Fuck the Patriarchy
when she was writing Stay, Stay, Stay.
Like, she was...
like, that was not the same girl.
The girl was not saying Fuck the Patriarchy. But I think parts of it were. I'm going to just give her that. I think parts of it were, but I think there was some stuff that she probably, like, remembered, like, when she was revisiting it. That she threw in there.
And who was the actress?
If he did, he was kind of ahead of his time.
And like, what does Reese Witherspoon think? Like, there's like, this is giving me more questions than answers, but I love that we're talking about things that happened a decade ago. That's my favorite. I love, like, that's why documentaries come out about things that happened a long time ago, or a book comes out things that happened a long time ago. I think that's the most fun to revisit, because in the moment, we don't know how good we have it.
100%. And like, there's also this, I would die if he posted an Instagram picture of him like wearing the scarf. Like
if People magazine was smart, like, they would have made him the sexiest man alive and insisted he did that. I mean, no disrespect to Paul Rudd, but like, imagine.
Imagine. I would have died.
I would have died too. And Maggie Gyllenhaal like pretending she doesn't know what the reference means. Like, get out of here.
I know. Did that? You see that clip from Watch What Happens Live from like forever ago? Andy was like, she's like, people ask me about this. I'm like, you know exactly what they're talking about, Maggie. What do you mean?
Crack a book, Maggie.
Like, go on the internet and you'll find out. Like, the house, the scarf is at your house.
Google your brother.
Literally. Just talk to him. I don't know. Text him. Literally FaceTime your brother.
I want him to respond so bad, but I don't think he will. And I feel like we might, John Mayer, we might have hoped for actually giving a response. Oh.
John Mayer will give us a response.
I think so too.
1,000%.
Or Andy Cohen will get it out of him.
Totally. Like, on Watch What Happens Live. Mm-hmm. He'll be like, so, dear John.
Dear John.
Love it. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on today. I really love chatting with you. Tell everyone where they can find you.
I am at Sarah Herron on Instagram. If you are watching this very snoozy season of The Bachelorette, which I made Sam tune into last week on Us Weekly's Here for the Right Reasons podcast, go check it out. Again, not my favorite season of the show, but we've got some fun interviews coming up. I mentioned Hannah Brown's book is coming. I talked to her for a while. We have to save that for closer to the book, but there's some bombs dropped if you're a Bachelor Nation viewer that you will be very intrigued by in this book, is all I can say. Might have to do with the pilot. And so I have a good interview with her coming up, and you can just listen to Here for the Right Reasons and follow me and read usmagazine.com, of course, for all your gossip needs.
usmagazine.com/sHerron.
Go to read my page.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. And don't forget, you can use code HOTM at thedip.com to get 20% off. And then of course, check out all the other Dip podcast. There's TV Watch Repeat, Pop Chaser, which is done by Allison Pivovarsky, friend of the podcast and executive editor of The Dip. She's so funny. And I will talk to you guys later. Bye.